You know, the Hebrew word for messenger is the same thing as angel. Now, I'm not saying Ed is an angel. I'll let him make that statement. Okay? I'm sure he'd probably say that he wasn't an angel always, you know, just like me. I wasn't an angel always, but different now. Isn't that right, darling? Yeah. Okay. See there? You can change. You can change. I did find out last night that Eddie was a pretty good athlete in his coming up days. Had a record of 115 free throws made in a row. 115 in a row. I'll let him tell you about that. And also was on a couple of championship baseball teams. But Eddie, that's his past. He enjoys looking back at that. But as we talked about last night, 17 years ago, he made a decision. Was it 17 years ago? 15 years ago, he made a decision to leave work, to follow Yahweh's guidance and direction of where he's going. Founder of the Hebraic Heritage Ministries. Been teaching all over the world. Is really known as one of the foremost scholars in Hebraic studies. And I do believe that we are getting closer and closer to the last days. I usually use the term, we're at the shank end of those days. But we need to understand and recognize what's really happening around us. So as we look at all these different situations and circumstances in the world, and see how it really relates to Yahweh's redemptive plan. Why? Why? So we'll know something? So we'll know what to do? No. So we can be what? A light to those around us. See, that's what it's all about. We can't lose sight that there's those running up and down the highway out there that have no clue about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, about the kinsman redeemer, Yeshua HaMashiach, that bought us, paid the price for all of us. So that's why we need to know these things, so we can be this light. And I'm sure that after the messages today that Ed is going to be bringing, that we're going to have a better understanding and maybe a little more foundation about these last days. And again, may we be that generation that seeks His face, that seeks His face. So Eddie, just welcome you today. You come and lead as the Father is put upon your heart. I think Eddie does have a couple of announcements he wants to make about some exciting things that's going on in with the ministry. And I know that this day is going to be, has been already, has it not been a blessing? You know, we can almost say day ain't new. Yeah, absolutely. We can say it. Day ain't new. It's been enough. But Eddie, come. Thank you for being with us, traveling all the way down from Ohio.
Shabbat shalom, y'all. So that mean I'm welcome in the South now? I'm a northern boy, but actually my grandfather was born in Tennessee. So I'm a southern northern boy. Let me begin by saying it's a privilege, a joy, and an honor that Yeshua, the Messiah, has given me to be able to be here with you today and to share with you some messages which He's laid upon my heart. But before I start the message, and I've entitled the message God's Prophetic Time Clock. And there's two major things that the Lord has used me to help the body of Messiah, and that is to bring them to the understanding that we need to follow Yeshua's Torah. And another area of love and passion that He's given me is for end time Bible prophecy. And so usually when I teach and share, it's usually on helping you to understand we need to follow Yeshua's Torah, or I'm going to be speaking about the end of days, end time events. And actually, with having a love for this, one of the things that the Father has taught me over the years is the understanding about how the greater exodus is going to come about. And since I believe that's going to happen in our generation, I would encourage you to learn and understand about the greater Exodus, what it's all about, how it's going to happen, because I really believe it's going to affect every single person in this room. And so before I then start on the message of God's prophetic time clock, I'm going to share with you some very exciting news from the ministry that's just happened in the past week. And it really, in a way, is a culmination of the things I've been doing in the ministry for the last 20 years, is Hebraic Heritage Ministries in the past week has launched an internet streaming radio website to teach the Hebraic roots of Christianity, and it's being called Hebraic Heritage Radio. So the site is up and running, and right now the test schedule is being run, but beginning next week and the week after, we hope to have the real production schedule up and playing. And so if you tune in today, you know, you're going to hear the test schedule, but we're going to get the production schedule up and coming next. And so since I'm so encouraged about this, and I want you all to be able to listen and have the benefit of getting the Hebraic Roots of Christianity message in your heart, but also that you can share it with your family. The format, the basic format which we're going to do is Yeshua said in John chapter 4, "Those that worship me in spirit and in truth." So truth is teaching, spirit is praise and singing. So basically in an hour, we're going to do 25 minutes of teaching and we're going to do 25 minutes of praise and worship. And so I think that is the appropriate balance. And we're going to play for you in those 25 minutes music from the best that we have in the Messianic movement. And so if you like Messianic song, if you like Messianic worship, you're going to get that, but you're also going to get teaching as well. And so since this is a ministry of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and because my heart has been that we can take someone from the church world, hold their hand, and disciple them, and take them step by step, that is what we're going to try to accomplish with the radio station. And so in order to do that, I've been producing over the last 10, 15, 20 years, you know, a series of teachings on a variety of subjects to help you in this area. And so we're going to begin to present those teachings on a daily basis, on a systematic basis. And so because people live busy lives, we're going to give you an opportunity one time a day to tune in at whatever time is your convenience to listen to today's teaching, which is going to be 25 minutes. So hopefully you can get some time during the day and you have 25 minutes to hear the teaching for the day. So I'm going to be doing a teaching for the day Monday through Friday. And so we're going to begin with, probably going to formally begin the schedule hopefully in about 2 weeks. So we're going to start with understanding Torah and grace. What is Torah? And I got a teaching called Torah and Grace. And then there's the next teaching, whose Torah do you believe? Then we're going to do a week teaching on who's the house of Jacob. Then we're going to go through a series of Torah in the New Testament. And we're going to take all those either verses or chapters or books of the Bible from the New Testament that people in church like to say, "See there, in the New Testament says we're not supposed to follow the Torah." So I've already got a whole teaching on to cover all those things. And so day by day, week by week, we're going to go and walk through that. So we're not going to give you all the information in one day, but over the course of the year, you'll be able, you yourself, to reacquaint yourself on different things. And hopefully, not only will you get the benefit from it, but you will share it with your friends as well. And through this way, hopefully, We can multiply the message, the understanding of the message, in the heart of the message. And so, it would really be a blessing to me if all of you would take the time and the opportunity to tune in to the radio station. And so, do y'all have a pen and a piece of paper? I want you all to write down the website where you can listen, and it's really easy. All you got to do is type in the website, and if you're doing it from a computer at home, the radio station will automatically play. Now, on your, you can listen on your phones, of course, as well. But I found out it comes up one of two ways on the phone. Sometimes it just comes up the main page, but you have to hit the play button on your phone. On your computer, you don't have to hit the play button, but on your phone, you have to hit the play button. And then sometimes, you know, the main page doesn't come on your phone. And that just happened. We did a test over here. And at the bottom of the page, it says view the full website. And if you click on that, then the home page comes up. That's only on your phone. It'll come up one of two ways. But at your computer at home, you put in the web address, and it'll automatically start playing for you, and you can just listen. And when you're around the kitchen or doing whatever you want to do, you know, you can have the speakers on and you can just listen. And it should be good listening, because we got 25 minutes of teaching, 25 minutes of music, and then at the bottom of the hour is U.S. news, and at the top of the hour, Israel news. So you get to keep up with what's going on in the world, and you got balance between word and music. So here's the website. Y'all ready? It's HebrewsRadio.com. HebrewsRadio.com. Let me go slow so you don't mistype it. It's the first three letters of Hebrew. That is H-E-B. The first three letters of Hebrew, H-E-B, then roots, R-O-O-T-S, and then radio. So it's H-E-B roots radio.com. You got it? So it's not Hebrew roots radio.com. It's H-E-B roots radio.com. And then we're going to have a different format once Shabbat comes in. On Friday nights, we're going to kind of like emulate Friday night Shabbat service, but we're going to try to do it in song. We're going to emulate the Shabbat service in song. Then on Saturday mornings, we're going to have a Shabbat service, the blessing, the blessings, the songs of Shabbat. Once again, we're going to try to do the Shabbat in song. But then Monty Judah has agreed to be the teacher of the Torah portion, and Brad Scott's going to be teaching the half Torah portion, and Laura Densmore is going to be doing a teaching about the heart of the matter, teaching Torah in the New Testament. And then I've also got a lot of Hebrew Roots teachers who's going to have basically one-hour programs. It's going to be airing on Saturday and Sunday. So we got Monty and Brad Scott and Rico Cortez and Halissa Olawine and Valerie Moody. We're going to have an hour program on organic things and health and oils and things like that. So these programs are going to be aired on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And during the week is the format that I gave you. So I really believe that no matter which day you listen, there's something there and a reason for you to listen, because I believe it's really going to express the heart of what our faith is and what we're trying to believe and practice and follow, and what you want to grow in. And also it's something that you can share with your friends, because we're all the time trying to tell our friends and our family, and it's sometimes difficult for us to explain everything if they're willing to listen. So here you can point them, go to the radio station and listen, and hopefully you'll learn and understand from there. So that's my big announcement. And I've been doing this, speaking now, for about 20 years. And about 99% of the time over the last 20 years, I don't even mention the website of the ministry, because I just, it's not my focus, so I just don't even do it. I haven't done it for 20 years, but I'm so excited about this, and I've taken some time now to let you know, because I really want you to go to the website and listen in. And so I got statistics now on the website and who all's doing what now. So when I go back, I want to see on there South Carolina, South Carolina, South Carolina, South Carolina. Okay, like the only people in the world that's listening is people from South Carolina. All right, so has everyone got it? HebeRootsRadio.com. All right, hope it's a blessing to you. Okay, so now I'm going to formally start my message. I'm going to be speaking on God's prophetic time clock. And I'm going to explain time. First, the big picture of time, which is from creation to the end of the Messianic era and the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. I'm going to explain what that big picture looks like. And then we're going to look at a circle within that circle. Time is according to from the garden to the end of the Messianic era and into the new heavens and the new earth. But within that big picture of time, time is defined according to the covenant that Yeshua made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the house of Jacob breaking the covenant and their punishment, which was to go into exile. And then there's a promise by the prophets that the day's coming when the exile will end. Now, the end of that exile coincides with the Messianic era and Messianic times. It coincides with the coming of the Messiah and the Messiah setting up his 1,000-year-old kingdom. 1,000-year kingdom. And so we have to understand that time is according to the exile in the redemption. There's only a limited amount of time that the exile is going to be. And then the third thing we're going to focus on is a circle within that. And that is trying to look at when is the final generation? How do we know it's the final generation? And how long is the final generation? So those are the three things we're going to cover. The big picture, and then times according to the duration of exile and redemption. And then ultimately, everything boils down to that generation that's going to transition from the present era to the Messianic era, to the rule and the reign of the Messiah. So what are the signs of that generation, and how long is it? So that's what I hope to cover here in this session. So now let's begin by looking at the big picture. Now, in order to understand time, we need to understand a very important Torah or Hebraic principle, is that biblical history is prophecy. Now, without having the Hebraic mindset, when an average person who's going to church looks at their Bible and they regard in their minds what they call the Old Testament, they view the Old Testament as a lot of history. And actually, they're taxed in their mind about wanting to read all about all that history. Most people find it overwhelming, and they kind of lose focus in trying to go through and make sense about all the history. And so the church just simplifies it and says, well, you know, that just foreshadowed the Messiah, so if it's foreshadowed the Messiah, we can just ignore all the history. Now we just focus on the Messiah. It's because we got a Greek view of our Bible. We got a Greek view of what they call the Old Testament. We don't realize that what is given in the Torah and the prophets is actually prophetic. It's not just historic, but it's prophetic as well. And that's what gives it powerful, unique meaning. So first I'm going to share that principle. And this comes from Isaiah in chapter 46 in verses 9 through 11. And it says, "Remember the former things of old. I am Elohim and there is none else. I am Elohim and there is none like me." So that verse is making a claim. The Almighty is making a claim that there's none like Him. So in what context is He making that claim, that there's none like Him? Well, it's in this context. Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and declaring from ancient times the things that are not yet done." There's no one like me, because I've declared from ancient times the things that haven't happened yet. He's already declared it. Not that He declared that something's going to happen in the future. He declared in the past what's going to happen in the future. Biblical history's prophecy. And then in verse 11, "I have spoken it." When? In the beginning. "I will bring it to pass." When? In the end. "I purposed it," or planned it. When? In the beginning. "I will also do it." When? In the end. Without the guidance of this book that we call the Bible, you know, mankind has a difficult time of making sense out of life and about this world and what happens in this world and where this world's going. Have a difficult time of making sense out of it. But God says that this world in which we live in, He's purposed it and He's planned it. So He's sovereign over it, and He has a sovereign purpose and plan, and that sovereign purpose and plan is the direction in which this earth is going to go, and you can't change it. You can't change what He's already purposed and planned about what the whole thing is going to do. Now, you can make a decision on which side you're on, but you can't change where things are ultimately going to go. And so that's why there's none like Him, because no one can tell you the end and the thing that hasn't happened in the beginning. So the creation in Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 through 3, the creation is a prophecy. The flood and Noah, it's a prophecy. The covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and them going out of down to Egypt and then coming out of Egypt, it's a prophecy. Abraham's life, it's a prophecy. Jacob's life, it's a prophecy. What happened in Abraham's life is a prophecy. What happened in Jacob's life is a prophecy. What happened to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and them coming out, that's a prophecy. Well, if you see it in that regard, it takes on a whole new light. And so when we come into the perspective and understanding that we should be following the Torah, one of the ways we try to express that is not only coming to Sabbath services, but we try to express it like, well, we need to follow and study and read the Torah portion. Okay? Have you ever thought about that if you did that, actually read and studied and went through a Torah cycle, in other words, you went through the first five books in 1 year, have you ever thought about what you did? Let me tell you basically what you do. You hear about creation, you know, for Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11, then all of a sudden, Genesis chapter 12, you're introduced to this person, Abraham, and it's actually Yeshua, made covenant with Abraham. Then we're told about Abraham has a son, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has 12 sons. They go to Egypt, spend some time there, and then they come out and spend a lot of time in the wilderness. That's what you're studying. Ever thought about it? You're studying about a covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has 12 sons. They go to Egypt, and they come out, and they spend 40 years in the wilderness. So that's what happens. I'm in the Torah now. I'm reading and studying the Torah portion. You're going through the process of studying about what happened to Abraham's family. Why is that so important for? It's because everything that happened to Abraham's family is prophetic. It teaches you about the Messiah. It teaches you about redemption and Yeshua's redemptive plan. It teaches you about the kingdom of Yahweh and the ways of the kingdom of Yahweh. How is he teaching you that? That which has happened literally and physically in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while it literally happened, it's also prophetic. If you only regard it as historical, then you get bored with it. But when you see the connection of how it's prophetic and it's spiritual, now it's powerful and it takes on a whole new dimension. And so that's why there's no one like the God of Israel. Because only he can make covenant with people in their individual lives and their individual history, is that what happened is going to happen. Who else is able to do that? That's why there's none like him. All right, now let's get the principle from Ecclesiastes in chapter 1 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. The thing that has been, that's the past, is that which shall be, that's the future. And that which is done right now is that which shall be done in the future. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Have you ever heard the saying that history repeats itself? You know why you've heard that saying? Because it does. You know why it repeats itself? Because there's human beings that are living on this earth. And the nature of human beings in every generation is pretty much the same. So that which the previous generation or previous generations did, the next generations are going to repeat. How the previous generations thought is how the future generations are going to think. The heirs of thinking of the previous generation will be the heirs of thinking in the future generations. So what happened to the nation of Israel in this book is also characteristic of human nature and human behavior. That's why what happened to them pertains to us who are living in this world. Now I'm going to show you the principle again in Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 15 says, that which has been, that's the past, is now. And that which is to be, that's the future, has already been. Because God requires in the future that which is past. There's your principle, biblical history's prophecy. So this is part of the reason why we need to remember and study the Torah and what happened to Abraham's family, what happened to Jacob's family. And so, because history is prophecy, that's why he wants us to study that. That's why he wants us to keep the Sabbath and why he wants us to keep the biblical festivals. Because he wants you to know the themes of the Sabbath, the themes of each biblical festival, because the themes of the Sabbath and the themes of the annual biblical festivals, they're going to teach you about the Messiah. And they're going to teach you about the kingdom of God. And he wants us to know, he wants you to know about the Messiah, and that he wants you to know about the ways of his kingdom. So he gives you things that you're are called to rehearse and practice. And if you don't do it religiously, if you really search out and understand why you're doing this, you know, there are a number of people that when they get the perspective that they're supposed to follow the Torah, they're supposed to keep the Sabbath, they're supposed to keep Passover, all of a sudden they're living their busy lives, and the congregation announces, we're having Passover, such and such night. So they go to Passover, they have the Seder, and they go, oh, hallelujah, I kept Passover. I keep the feast, I keep Passover. And that's all the farther they get into I keep Passover. But you, if you would ask most people who go to a Passover Seder, what is really Passover all about? Can you really teach about Passover and why you eat the lamb and the bitter herbs and why you're supposed to do this with the lamb and its head and its legs, and you're supposed to do this, and why you're supposed to do the staff in your hand, and how does it teach about the Messiah, and how does it teach us about his kingdom, and why you count the Omer for, and what's Shavuot all about, and all these things. They could tell you, I believe in doing it, but they really can't sit down there and tell you all the themes of it and what it's all about. Well, you're really not getting the full essence of it unless you really know what you're doing and why you're doing it and what are the spiritual lessons that you're supposed to learn in doing it. And so the God of Israel actually structured history and the things that he commands us to do. So it's life is a test. You know the reason why you're living here and why I'm living here? It's one big test. It's a test to decide, are you going to live your life to serve the God of Israel, or are you going to live your life to serve yourself? Are you going to live your life to find pleasures in this world, or are you going to live your life for others and for the Messiah and for his kingdom? And so when we live our lives, we're all the time making decisions, and life is one big test. And one of the commandments, if you're following the ways of Yeshua, following the ways of the God of Israel, the greatest commandment, you shall love him with 40% of your heart. No? How about 50%? How about 80? How about 90? You love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Now, life becomes a test. It's not whether in my heart I got this emotional feeling that I feel like I love him, and in my heart, I ascend to the fact that I love him. Hebraically, what are your actions? What are your actions? So life becomes a test. He gives you the Shabbat. Okay, what is your heart attitude towards Shabbat? Is it, I'm just satisfied just coming to a service? Or you have to take time to learn, what is Shabbat all about? What is its themes? What does it teach me? And do I understand it for myself? And can I teach it and share it to others? What about Passover? Do I understand all of its themes and elements? And in order to, because once I learned this, I found it so fascinating and it moved my heart such. I ended up, there's a book sitting down there, a book that I wrote, The Seven Festivals of the Messiah, to help teach and explain these things. But anyhow, when we live our lives, we live in a world of conflict. We live in a world that there's constantly a tension for our time and our energies and our desires. So we have to choose where we're going to give our time, where we're going to give our energies, and how much commitment we're going to give to Yeshua and studying and learning the ways of his kingdom. And to be quite honest, some people give it 20% effort, 20% love. Some people give it 40% love. Some people give it 70% love. Some 80%, some 90%. Some between a 90 and 100. But we're all commanded to give 100. And so then, now let's look at creation. Creation, we're told, took place over 7 days. So, you know, there's people that argue, was it literal 7 days, or was there a Big Bang, or, you know, there's those that says no, it's evolution. So you got all those debates that's going on, right? But ultimately, why is it that we're told that the creation took place over 7 days? And then we're told on the seventh day, the one that created the heavens and the earth, he rested. Why are we told that? Well, it's a prophecy that each day in creation represents 1,000 years of time. So in the beginning, he's prophesying about how this creation is going to be. So in creation, the Creator laid out a prophetic week for the creation. The creation's only going to be for a week. It's going to labor for 6 days. The creation's going to labor for 6 days. And then the creation's going to rest on the Sabbath. So the Creator laid out His creation in the context of a prophetic week and laid out the creation that the creation itself is going to celebrate Sabbath. And guess what? There's nothing you can do about it because that's the way it's going to be. Now, you have a decision to make because life is a test about whether you're going to flow, whether you believe that, whether you're going to flow with it, or whether you're going to oppose it. And so then, I'm going to show you the principle that each day represents 1,000 years. This is from Psalm chapter 90 and verse 4. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years is likened to yesterday, and yesterday's a day. So 1,000 years is likened to a day. This verse is quoted in 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4 is quoted in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which says, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." Don't be ignorant of that. So when he says don't be ignorant of that, what he then says in verse 10 is, "But the day of Yahweh." Beloved, don't be ignorant that one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't be ignorant of that. And then he says, 2 verses later, "But the day of Yahweh." So if you're paying attention to what you're reading, how long did he define the day of Yahweh? Don't be ignorant that one day is with the Lord, 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So we just made a definition. One day equals 1,000 years. And then he says, now the day of Yahweh. Now how long is the day of Yahweh? It's 1,000 years. Now we can ask the question, since we know the day of Yahweh is 1,000 years, who's Yahweh? Because it's his day. His day is 1,000 years. Is there anybody that you know that's gone, that has 1,000 years designated for him? You know who? Anything come to mind? You know, yeah, Yeshua, right? He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. All right. So there, if since the day of Yahweh is 1,000 years, and it's the day of Yahweh, which is 1,000 years, and you say, well, who or what would that apply to? Well, that applies to Yeshua. Why? Because it says in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed is holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they will be priests unto God and of Messiah, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. So there's those that are reigning with Messiah for 1,000 years. So unfortunately, within the movement, there are those who embrace elements and aspects of the movement who have a struggle with who Yeshua is. And one of the struggles they have is whether he's Yahweh or not. And so if the 1,000 years is the day of Yahweh, and Yeshua is ruling and reigning in the 1,000 years, it's a day for him to rule and reign, and the time is called the day of Yahweh, then Yeshua is, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. So it's his day. So in looking at the creation, in order to affirm that it's his day and that he's Yahweh, who's the one that created the heavens and the earth? Well, most Christians in their mind, they think of, they say in their mind God, and when they say in their mind God, they're thinking of the Father. So in their mind, the Father created the heavens and the earth. But actually, if we go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim. The Word was Elohim. The same," that is the Word, "the same was in the beginning with Elohim." So what's the subject of those two verses? What's the subject? It's speaking about what? The Word. That's the subject. So given that the Word is the subject, verse 3. "All things were made by Him." Who's Him? The Word. "The Word made all things. And without Him," who's Him? "Without the Word was not anything made that was made." Now, in order to affirm that we didn't misapply who Him was, in verse 10, John chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world knew Him not." So, who was the one that was in the world that the world didn't know? Yeshua. Now, verse 10 says, "He was in the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." The one that was in the world that the world didn't know made the world. So, who said, "Let there be light"? It was Yeshua. So, Yeshua, when He created the world, the creation was laid out as a prophetic week, and the Creator, Yeshua, rested on the seventh day. Now, He gave a pattern for all of creation to follow after. They're to follow after His pattern. So His pattern is prophetic. All right, let me give you a deeper connection of the propheticness of it. Genesis in chapter 2, verse 1. It reads in the English, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and with all the host of them." So you're just reading it, just casually, innocently. What's the verse saying? Hey, He created the world, and now he's done. Okay, let's go on. But there's a deeper meaning there, and you only see the deeper meaning in the Hebrew. Where it says, "We're finished," it's the Strong's number 3615. For those of you who are not aware of the Strong's, James Strong's wrote a concordance of the Bible, and he gave a numerical value to every Hebrew word and a numerical value to every Greek word. So he went by the alphabet. So all the words that begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, he just put them in order, and he said, "You're number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the word, the Hebrew word, there in Genesis 2:1 that was translated as "was finished," he just assigned the number 3615. So that's what we mean by 3615. So if we go and actually look in a concordance, which I have a concordance at the end back of my Bible, and we see, well, what is that Hebrew word? And the Hebrew word is kala. 3615, kala, or kala. Now, you know what the Hebrew word for bride is? It's the Strong's number 3618, and it's kala. It has the exact same letters. There's three Hebrew letters. So those three Hebrew letters was translated as "was finished," but those three Hebrew letters is the Hebrew word for bride. So there's a deeper meaning that at the conclusion of creation is a bride. The conclusion of the creation, what's going to happen at the end? Whether the Creator is going to have a bride. So it's prophesying that there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. So now we continue reading, and it's actually repeated. The concept is repeated. Verse 2. "On the seventh day, Elohim ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work that He had made." So on the seventh day, Elohim ended His work. You know what the word "ended" is? The same word that was translated as was finished, it's kala, which is the Hebrew word for bride. So on the seventh day, Elohim made a bride out of his work. And then verse 3, and he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work. So now, that seventh day is sanctified. What's the word sanctified mean? It is the Strong's number 6942. And 6942 is the Hebrew word kadosh. Now, you know what the Hebrew word for holy is? Kadosh. Kadosh, kadosh. Kadosh, kadosh. It's the same letters. The same three Hebrew letters that's translated as sanctified are the exact same three Hebrew letters that's translated as holy.